I can't come here and die. I can't come here and live. Got all this shit on my mind. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Work ain't paid me in time. My boo just ripped me my mood. O2 just cut off my line.
Hi, guys.
And welcome to the Echo Chamber.
I'm Jade.
And I'm Ez.
And today we're going to talk about intimacy. Yeah, we've had loads of conversations about intimacy as of late. This feels like a pertinent topic between the two of us to, have a butcher's. So, opening question. One aspect of intimacy that you know you need to work on, or one aspect of intimacy that you engage with healthily?
An aspect of intimacy that I know I need to work on. I know I have codependency issues that I need to work on, and that can really mask itself as like healthy, like the way that it manifests or the way it looks, the way I can make it look is like it's like a healthy support or something like that. I try anyway, but it's actually codependency and a very unhealthy expression of intimacy. I seek to be quite honest. When I'm thinking of the word intimacy, I'm not just thinking romantically. I think all of my like intimate friendship, family members that I'm like quite close to, I'm good at naming things and exploring or confronting how I feel or what I'm thinking. How about you?
I think I would say that an area of intimacy that I really endeavour to work on would be issues with enmeshment. So being able to discern and know like what's mine and what's the other person's, and just having full responsibility for like my needs and feelings and being able to communicate what needs to be shared in an intimate space and setting with friend, significant other, family member. So there's that. And I would also say one area of intimacy that I would like to work on or improve on is the way that my tendency to people please shows up in particularly in like very intimate settings or like interpersonal relationships and sex. And I think that I can see looking back that I kind of struggle to decipher when maybe I really want to do something or the reasons why I don't want to do something and having the confidence to communicate, oh, I don't want to do this. So I can think of like just so many times, so many occasions where I have maybe engaged in sex for longer than I've wanted to maybe. So I might not be into it or I might be feeling uncomfortable in my actual physical body. Because of a tendency to people please, I will just continue. And I guess that's where enmeshment comes in, because I'm thinking about the other person's pleasure and making that issue my own. Those are key things I'd like to improve. What am I good at? I think I'm good at feeling. So I think that in my body, I just know. So I know when things don't necessarily feel healthy or right. I just think that there needs to be a bridging of the gap between knowing something, feeling something, and then expressing it, communicating, acting upon like what I know or what I feel.
Yeah, I find it really interesting what you said, because obviously, well, not obviously to people listening, but to us, this conversation has really come off the back of like just recent sexual encounters that I have had where I have found myself, I've almost regressed, because I think I got very good at being assertive in sex and very good at not people pleasing, not centering the other person's needs, and only engaging in sex that felt reciprocal or felt safe. I think that the long journey to that place, but I had reached that place where actually I wouldn't be involved or doing things or like, and it's so funny because I feel like when I speak to a lot of my girlfriends about this, it feels like it's, and again, this I'm saying my female friends because I don't have this same conversation with my male friends, But when I speak to a lot of my female friends, I think it's really common that women, particularly women that have sex with men, that they feel the need to center the man's pleasure or the man's needs. I think that, like, a lot of women that I speak to, I'll speak for myself, I know that in the past I've definitely been, like, in my head a lot, just, like, really in my head, thinking through, is he enjoying this? Should I move my body in this way? Should I arch my back in that way? And really, like, centering whatever man I'm sleeping with, centering their needs, and that's been me in the past. I think I really confronted that. I think over the years I've really, like, confronted and interrogated that, and had reached a better place where I was not as disassociated, and I was very much engaging in sex that was about reciprocal pleasure, and that felt safe and that felt respectful. And then I think more recently, I have felt like I've been in a situation that for many, many reasons, it's really difficult to not be in my head whilst in the bedroom. Yeah, it's really difficult to not be in my head. It's almost like I've been having, like, a somewhat out-of-body experience, exploring myself, like, watching myself do this again, or watching myself, like, center him or not speak up when I want to, or whatever it is, do you know what I mean? So I find that really interesting, because I think that what you described, I don't think is unique to you. Yeah, I don't really know where to go with that, because I think part of me thinks, oh, it's about having sex. Well, this sounds very obvious, but it's not obvious. But having sex with in settings where you feel safe enough to be in your body, and cultivating relationships that celebrate pleasure, reciprocal pleasure. But then in the same vein, being in this situation now, I'm very aware that that's not always as straightforward as it sounds.
No, definitely. We did some setting intentions for 2021 on the podcast, but we also did it between the two of us, and we asked different questions. And what came up for me so much was, like, relationships, essentially, relationships, love, intimacy, in terms of, like, my actual key intentions, the things that I really want to pursue and work on. In my mind, in my brain, I would tell myself that I want, like, to work on career stuff, money stuff, creative stuff. But the truth, when I was asked questions that really dug deep, was that I want to work on intimacy and relationships and things like that. And I think that the process of this started in 2019. I had some really interesting relationships with two equally quite difficult men, difficult in different ways. I could just feel my discomfort that manifested in very different ways with the two of them. And it's very interesting, because one of them was, like, could be very, very, very loving, very intensely loving. And in that situation for some time, I definitely believed that, like, I was engaging in true intimacy, or in a version of intimacy that I hadn't necessarily experienced before. And in the other situation with the other guy, it was the opposite. It was like, I am enduring this. This is really uncomfortable. I don't feel safe with this person. I was telling myself the actual sex is good. The emotional stuff, or the, like, the intimacy, the truth of this isn't good. I feel like those two situations really exposed me to my propensity, to avoid. And the ways in which I just don't have the confidence to speak sometimes in situations with people and assert, like, oh, I don't want to do this, or sorry, stop, no, this doesn't feel nice, or I don't want to see you anymore. Yeah, it just really showed me how much I struggle to do those things. And both situations didn't end well at all. But this is definitely, for me anyway, the starting point, or my entry point into this conversation.
And it's interesting for me, because I feel like intimacy in the bedroom for me has really reflected my ability to be intimate outside of the bedroom, and in all settings. So not just in romantic or sexual settings, but also in platonic relationships, in relationships with my family, in my relationship with myself. I think that exploring vulnerability and truth, like, and authenticity supports me to be more intimate, because I think intimacy is about truth. It's about the ability to be what, like, I am able to be what I am in relationship, like, with whoever. So that can be a friend, a colleague, and that to me is intimacy. Like, the freedom to exist and be vulnerable and be beautiful and be ugly and be all of those things, and showing that and allowing somebody to see that and trusting that you'll be held in that and vice versa. And I think that intimacy, in my experience, takes work. When I think about my most intimate relationships, or actually, do you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about, there was somebody that I was in love with for many years, and I was very close to, like, very, 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 very close to. And we had, we had a complicated situation. But I know that, like, on the surface, that is my most intimate relationship, or my most, the most intimate, yeah, that is the most intimate engagement I've had with another human being on the surface. But when I look back now, and when I'm being honest with myself, I think, on the one hand, yes, I feel like I knew the person very well, vice versa, had a very deep connection to, care for the person, and vice versa. But I don't think I had, I always had the freedom to sit in truth. I think there was something about hiding, or like masking certain sides of myself, or even if I weren't masking those sides, trying to fix, trying to change, to fit into the version of a person that I felt that they wanted me to be. In as much as I don't think that it's as simple to say that, oh no, that isn't my most intimate relationship. I don't think it's as simple to say that. But I think that I'm just really aware of that truth now in ways I haven't always been. And then when I think about, like, when I think about intimacy, and I think about, like, some of my friendships, actually, where I think I model intimacy quite well in friendship. And I think I've been able to create healthy, intimate friendships. And when I think about my friends and the people that I'm most intimate with as friends, there's just like, there's a freedom to get it wrong. There's a freedom to, like, explore. And so, like, so that now, with that said, and taking that into the conversation that we've been having about how intimacy plays out in the bedroom, I think that my most recent sexual partner is, for many reasons, I don't feel able to get it wrong, or to, and it's like, it sounds mad, and it sounds mad, but this is the truth. Like, it just feels like, for whatever reason, I'm not able to exist in my body, and I'm not able to get it wrong in that space. And it's just been really interesting to observe me. It feels like I'm like 20 again. it feels really weird.
But what does getting it wrong in a sexual context mean, though?
Exactly, it doesn't mean anything. So it literally makes no sense, but that's what it feels like. So it's not even like I'm saying that, like, oh yeah, that, like, this is logical, or this is positive, or this is, I understand why I think this or feel this. And again, to be really clear, it isn't this black and white. So it's not like, oh, I'm in the bedroom and I'm thinking, oh, I can't get this wrong. Oh, like, that's not... It doesn't manifest in that way. And, like, on the one hand, there's that. On the other hand, there's, like, a lot of pleasure. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of, like, connection, which is why I'm in the situation. But then equally, like, I can't ignore that voice. Even if that voice is only for, like, a moment, a split moment. So it might not even be for the whole duration of the encounters, or it might not even be, like... It doesn't even always just come up in sex as well. It can come up when I'm just in the person's presence, and I'm just in the person's space, where it's like, and it's not, again, the voice doesn't, it's not like a voice that says to me, oh, you can't get this wrong, or whatever it is. It's more a discomfort and a feeling of like not being able to be myself or to be comfortable. Yeah, and again, like I won't get into the full context of the relationship, but I'm very aware from a cerebral, like from a like looking at the situation, analyzing it, I'm very aware of some of the reasons why this is.
Mm.
And it's very straightforward. But I guess what the next step is one, communicating this. It'll be so funny if you listen to this episode, I doubt it though. But one, communicating this, and two, negotiating a new situation for myself. And that might be with this person, that might be with somebody else, that whatever it is, but it's just like I'm finding it interesting, basically observing myself and how I'm responding to this and how I'm feeling. I'm finding it really interesting, and even though these are not feelings I've never felt before, it does feel new because it's been such a long time since I have allowed myself to be in this situation for a sustained period.
I definitely hear you. Yeah, what you were saying in terms of relationships. So I just have a tendency to avoid. And I guess that coupled with avoiding is a tendency to hide, I would assume. But anyway, those are two things that I very much identify in myself. I've got a tendency to hide and a tendency to avoid. And I think that relationships generally, no matter what they are, so down to a colleague, all the way up to an intimate partner, boyfriend, whatever, feel like difficult spaces to exist in, difficult spaces to show up in, difficult spaces to communicate in. There's always a niggling thought or fear that I am going to alienate this person if I assert my needs. And I think that my like relationship with sex was obviously formed quite significantly by writing about sex in the first instance. So yeah, writing about sex as a teenager, and reading about sex before then. And I think that the writing about sex publicly definitely, like, there was just a shame that encroached on me, like, slowly but surely. And so to show up in sex the way that I do, like, or that I'm, and in a way that I'm trying not to anymore, I very much understand why there's like a shame and like an avoidance, and then like wanting to people please and not feeling able to communicate my expectations for a sexual situation or relationship. Because of all of that turmoil and that anguish and that like negotiating. But it's something that I'm very much committed to. I'm just committed to working on, because as I said, I think as much as my ego helps me to do things that protect me, I can feel like more and more what doesn't feel right and what just doesn't feel right, what doesn't feel authentic, what doesn't feel natural, more and more. I haven't been in a romantic relationship with anyone for a significant period of time. And I haven't had sex in quite a while either. And I do that. I go through periods of time, like up to a year, where I'm just not engaging in sex. I'm not engaging with people. I'm not really dating or seeing anyone. And I think I'm also confronting how that is an act of avoidance and like a fear of intimacy. A fear of showing up, and of course not showing up as yourself, as your true self, not getting your needs met or communicating how somebody can meet your needs in a relationship is tiring. So it's also almost like I take these hiatuses from like relationships to catch my breath or to like refuel, because being like hiding so many parts of myself or not being myself in relationship with other people, it really takes it out of you. It is really tiring. But I think I am finally tired of doing that.
Yeah, I find that really interesting. More than anything noble, or more than like because of my integrity or whatever, that's actually why I seek to be authentic and to model or to cultivate healthy, intimate relationships because it's exhausting. I'm tired. Like, I'm tired doing the brain work. So, like, the brain work, the body work, the heart work is too much to have to constantly, like, think and figure out and negotiate and rare tech. That is too much. So I'm just like, that's dead. I'd rather just be able to just be myself. And that is in every sphere. That is in at work. That is with my family. And it's a balancing act, isn't it? It's a difficult thing. And and I'm inconsistent. I'm definitely inconsistent. But I do think that, like, in my experience, the work of, like, cultivating healthy, intimate relationships romantically and otherwise comes from being able to face myself. So there's something about that, being able to sit with myself. Like, if I can't sit with myself, I'm not going to be comfortable with someone else sitting with me. And that translates into all spheres, all relationships. So I think that the more of the work on myself that I've done or I'm doing, the more comfortable I am with my truth of who I am, the more comfortable I am to be in relationship. I'm abroad, and I had a proper mare. I had a proper mare getting here. I'm in Ghana. I had a proper mare. I basically lost my passport in the airport, almost missed my flight. Long story. And, like, there's all this drama, like, ran to the flight, whatever. Was getting on the flight, right? And I was just like, this is proper, and it's like, this is like, whole trip, this whole situation is a proper, like, typical as scenario. Like, one, the grace of how I'm here, like, the grace of how I managed to escape and get here is literally just, like, grace and, like, faith and grace and all of these different things combined. But then there's also the side of me that is, like, where I don't show up for myself, where I'm not able to be organized enough, or I'm not able to whatever it is, in it. And I got on the plane and I really sat with that. I really sat with the discomfort of, like, how I manifest or create certain chaotic patterns, or it feels like I create certain chaotic patterns, or I'm so used to chaos. So it's almost like things can't be 100%. I'm used to chaos. And yeah, sitting with that really made me think about, like, how uncomfortable I am with that part of my story or my character or whatever it is, right? And I'm really interested in exploring how that part of me shows up in relationships, and I'm really uncomfortable by that. So that when I let myself look at that, like, directly and confront that, I am really uncomfortable by that. Think is a barrier to intimacy, my me not wanting that part of me to impact other people's lives or to stress other people out. So there's stuff about me that just makes me want to withdraw, and when I think about that stuff, I'm like, I want to withdraw. I don't, like, for example, like, and that usually shows up at work, to be honest, or in work settings. It's like, I don't want to put my foot there. I don't want to go for that opportunity because, you know what, if I end up being chaotic, or if I end up not being able to follow through on that, it's going to impact all these people. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I think I just had some time to sit with that. And I had some time to sit with, like, intimacy isn't just the good stuff, basically. It's not just about, like, oh, the beauty of connection and love and all of the lovely stuff, warmth and truth and challenge and all of the great stuff that we can describe. Intimacy is also about that discomfort, that real discomfort, being seen. And people might not like certain things. Like, if I ever don't like certain things, then, like, I can't expect, people might not like, but it's trusting, being able to trust, like, do you know what, I'm still okay. And also being able to access a healthy version of support to continue to grow and develop.
Yeah, what you were saying about, like, why this thing manifests, essentially, like, why all the ways in which this thing manifests and, like, some of the root. So being conscious of like your chaoticness and being mindful of that showing up in relationships, particularly work spaces and relationships. I very much hear you. I think that I wrote an essay about relationships and stuff, and I just talked a little bit about like my relationships with my parents, particularly my own dad. And I was just talking about the day as a child that I remember the first time that I felt really disgusting and really like, yeah, just really disgusting and very unacceptable, actually. And it was something that my dad said about my belly. I was like 6 or 7 or something. I was so young. And like, I was, yeah, obviously had a pot belly, being that I was a child. And then he said something about my belly, and I was laying down on my mum's bed. And I just remember wanting like the ground to just swallow me up or to just disappear. Like I didn't want to be seen anymore. I didn't want to physically be there anymore in that moment. And it was, I think, the first time that I was conscious of my body. It was crazy. I really, really, truly remember that. I still feel that feeling that I felt as a child. I feel that in relation to, yeah, so many things about me, like not like feeling unacceptable, feeling disgusting, feeling like that level of disgust or discomfort or like disapproval that I evoke in somebody else is going to inform this space or this relationship. And of course, like my very fractured relationship with my dad, and the two things are not related, but it's almost as though I made that connection, I made that narrative. So like on that day when he made that comment and I felt like he was doing up his face in like a disgusted way, and I felt disgusting and I felt unacceptable, that this is part of the reason why my dad has not been around, or I don't feel loved by him, or all of these narratives that I have about our relationship more generally. And I just think that I can see, or I'm more and more aware of the ways that it just feeds into how I think about myself in relation to other people, and how I think about how much I'm allowed or should feel I'm allowed to show up and be my true self. And whether that is like, oh, I'm an adult and I've got this big, big tummy, or I'm an adult and I'm like whatever, in terms of like personality or character, I'm like very anxious, or I'm very particular. Those are things that might annoy people, or might be people might look at those things in certain contexts in a disapproving manner. And it's like there's this consistent belief that showing up with those things, being myself with the anxiety, with the whatever like is part of my character or my personality, is going to inform the way that people treat me, see me, decide to be in my life or whatever.
I find that it's really interesting that you're able to
everything I've said, you say that you find it interesting, by the way, you know.
No, it's interesting, isn't it? It is. That being able to pinpoint a specific time or a specific event where you started to develop certain ideas about yourself. And again, I think the human mind is interesting as well, because I don't think that it is. I think that lots of things happen, and then I think our brains process things in a specific way. So I also have that similar things where it's that, this event led to this, and that's probably true. But then there was probably like there was definitely other things going on that contributed to whatever beliefs or whatever it is that I hold about myself. And when I think about unlearning some of those things, or like going back on and shifting them out of my body or healing them or whatever it is, I think about like in relation to intimacy, and this is why I find romantic relationships, find the idea of them, or I'm challenged by the idea of them, because I just think when you come out the other side of that, for me, I'm a different person. So like every kind of major breakthrough or major shift, when I've come out of the other side of it, I'm a different person. When I think about like different people or different relationships that I've had, friendships, relationships, colleagues, old mentors, old pastors, literally like there's so many relationships, old youth workers, there's so many relationships that I can think about that like particularly intimate at specific seasons, in specific seasons of my life. And they were really important to get me from one place to the next place. But then when I've come out the other end of it, I'm a new person. And I think part of the like shifting stuff out of my body and the healing, there's change that comes with that. So like when I spoke about like sitting with myself around some of the chaotic patterns that I call onto myself or manifest, that is something I'm going to change. That is something I want to change. But then, and then I won't be this version of myself that you're speaking to. I'll be a different version of myself in it. And I think that when I think about intimacy, there's something, in as much as there's something like infinite about it, there's something. So when I think about, particularly thinking about certain relationships I've had, like nothing can compare, nothing can take that time away from me, blah, 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 blah. But then there is also something seasonal about intimacy and relationships. And that when I think about even my friends or my friendships, like when I think about how they look different in different seasons. And it's not like some never end, like it's not some eternal thing. Even though the feelings or the attachment to it or the love for it or the reverence for it might be, but what it looks like in reality is different. And I think I'm really aware of that. Thinking about like younger women particularly, who like if I was to like give advice, I don't like to give advice, but if I was to like, yeah, if I was to give any advice, it would be to just continue to do that work with yourself, continue to develop intimacy and cultivate trust for yourself and love and acceptance of yourself. And not in a airy-fairy hippie way, but like genuinely like doing the work on self shows up in settings and has supported me to be more assertive in settings in intimate partner settings.
Yeah, on the advice that you just gave there, so like I've been watching Girlfriends as it's come back on Netflix, and there's two characters that are best friends. And one of the way that one of them is written up, Tony, she's such a toxic person. Like, and she actually factually in the show does toxic things, does mad things. Like she pretended to sleep with her best friend's man, like all these mad things. And her best friend Joan is written up to be like this well-meaning, well put together woman. But the difference that I'm seeing as the seasons are going on is that they both have their toxic traits. They both do rubbish. But Tony, there's an acceptance and an acknowledgement of the good and the bad with Tony. Whereas with Joan, there's almost like a self-awareness and a refusal to like look at the bad or the ugly, and this like desperation to only harness and embrace and put on show the good. And as the seasons are going on, despite the outlandish mad things that Tony has done, I like Tony more. Or I find myself liking Tony and preferring Tony more than I like Joan, even though there is clearly like this good-bad dichotomy that has been written up by the script writers. But I mention that to just say that when you can embrace and you can acknowledge and look in the face like your ugliness or your darkness or just your truth holistically, there is like, yeah, there's a way that you will have that, the acceptance that you do seek. And I definitely think that is something that I am learning or have been learning as I have been journeying with myself in my own personal life.
Yeah, that's the work, fam. That is the work. That is the ongoing work. I like conversations like this because they hold me accountable. So I think that there's something about like not that I've told bare people now that I am in a situation that I need to explore and be assertive about. And I think that I think for me that's what the next step looks like in relation to this topic. What would you say your next step looks like?
I do truly believe that the next step is for me to take a deep dive in to relationships and intimacy, find a balance in staying aware. And when I say staying aware of when I am deviating from being myself. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's a good note to end this one on. Thank you for listening, guys.
Thanks as always, guys.
I can't come here and die. I can't come here and lose. Got all this shit on my mind. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Work ain't paid me in time. My boo just ripped in my mood. O2 just cut off my line.